All right, if you will, take your Bibles. Turn with me to John chapter 10. John chapter 10, and I want us to consider the first 21 verses tonight in our study of this great gospel. And let's see, where should I start? With what verse should I begin? Well, you are probably sitting there thinking, if you're going to do this right, you should start with verse 19. And you think correctly. We'll start with verse 19, and I'll tell you why in just a second. Look how it starts in verse 19. There was a division, therefore, again among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, he hath a devil, better, he hath a demon. And is mad. Why hear ye him? Others said, these are not the words of him that hath a demon. Can a demon open the eyes of the blind? What is transpiring in the first 18 verses is set right on the heels of the miracle in John chapter 9. It says here in verse 19, there was another division. And there was a division amongst the people in John chapter 9. In fact, if you go back, there was a division amongst the people in John chapter 8. One of the greatest things, and yet one of the most detrimental things to Bible study, is the putting of chapter and verse divisions in the Bible. I'm thankful that it's there, because tonight, if we wanted to start our studies, I would have to say to you, open to about the middle of John's gospel and find where it starts, verily, verily, I say unto you. And we'd be here half the night trying to find that place. I can say to you, open to John chapter 10, and within a few seconds, you're there. That's good. The problem, though, is when you have these divisions, you kind of separate John chapter 9, John chapter 10, and you make them disjoint. What is happening in the first part of John chapter 10 is literally, I believe, falling on the very heels within moments of what finished in John chapter 9. There really is no break between it. So it goes back, and the way this begins, what he is saying here is creating another division. Now the question is, what did he say that caused such another division? Well, let's see what he already said. We go back to John chapter 8. Jesus said, I'm the light of the world. And he's dealing with his deity there. And some of the people recognized it and some of them didn't. We get to John chapter 9. He performs a miracle. A miracle of giving sight to a person who was born blind. And once again, there's a division there. They ask the neighbors, said, who is this guy? We're not sure about him. If you remember from 2 weeks ago, there was that thing, and they brought him to his parents, and they ended up taking him off to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are questioning the parents about this miracle that supposedly took place, and was he actually born blind? And his parents said, well, yeah, he was, but who did it? We don't want to say, because you guys will kick us out if we admit that it was Christ who did these things. And they were in fear of the Jews, and there was a division amongst them. And at the end of the chapter, Jesus is coming to the Pharisees, and he's saying, they asked him, are we yet blind? And he says, if you really had sight, you would recognize your sin, and you wouldn't even be asking me this question. You'd be coming to me, just as this blind person came to me and trusted on me. That's the context that was causing a division. So there's division between them, and Jesus is going to settle what's going on here. He's going to tell them how to resolve the division that's between them. So we need to back up and find out what Jesus said. And to do that, we go right to verse 6. This parable spake Jesus unto them. So what we have in verses 1 through 5 is a parable. A story that is called to illustrate some spiritual truth. Well, let's see what the parable is. Verse 1. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and the sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. Now, verse 6 says, this parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them. I think full well they understood the parable, the story itself. They didn't understand how it related to what had just transpired. I think if you would put this in the vernacular of today, they were saying to themselves, what does this have to do with the price of rice in China? How does this relate to what we just heard about light and blindness and sin and salvation? You're talking in a completely different realm. You have, first of all, in verse 1, you're talking about a door in a sheepfold. You're talking about thieves and robbers. You're talking about a shepherd and sheep. You're talking about a porter. None of these things have to deal with that. So what are we talking about here? Well, in verses 7 on down through verse 18, he's going to explain this, how it relates. But let me give you the story so that you understand the story. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same as the thief and the robber. Here is a picture of what a sheepfold might have looked like. It was an enclosed structure that was used to house sheep, usually overnight. It had one entrance to it, the door. Literally, the better would be the doorway. There wasn't necessarily a gate or an actual door on the thing, just an opening, one opening. The shepherds would bring their sheep in from the pastures at night. They would go into the fold, and then there would be a porter, usually, who would sit in the doorway. The sheepfold would keep any predatory animals from getting in and attacking the sheep. They couldn't get over the highness of the walls. The shepherd could come in through the doorway. That would be the normal one, but the porter would be there. And the porter would recognize, hey, are you really one of the shepherds of these sheep, or are you an imposter? So a genuine shepherd, one who owned sheep, had sheep in there, could enter and go in and get a sheep. If you wanted to steal the sheep, the porter would recognize you, and so you would have, in order to get in, you would have to climb in some other way. You couldn't go through the door. That's the gist of the parable that he's talking here. The shepherd, when he comes, would be recognized by the porter. He would go in. He would call his own sheep. They would recognize who he was. And notice it says, when he calls his own sheep in verse 3 by name, he leadeth them out. If you go back to John chapter 9 with the Pharisees, they're questioning the young man as to who healed him and who this Jesus was. And let me go back to verse 31. Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will, him he heareth. Since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? If this man were not of God, he could do nothing. The Pharisees, verse 34, answered and said unto him, thou wast altogether born in sins, and dost thou teach us? And they cast him out. Literally, they threw him out. The good shepherd, in verse 3, leads them out. That's an important distinction that we'll see in just a moment here. The shepherd comes in, he calls his sheep, they recognize him, He leads them out into pasture land. They know His voice. A stranger, not the right one, and they'll just run from Him. They'll flee Him. That's the parable. How did that relate to what was going on? Verse 7. Then said Jesus unto them, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. In order for the sheep to get into the fold, they've got to come through me. The sheep can't hop up over the wall. They're incapable of doing that. They've got to enter through the door. And I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved and shall go in and out and find pasture. Verse 9 is an interesting verse grammatically. A couple of things that are interesting about it. I am the door. By me. Literally, it can be translated through me. And obviously, you don't go in by a door, you go in through a door or a doorway. The preposition that's used here, though, is one to get into some passive uses of the preposition and passive verbs, the instrumental or indefinite use of the object here, and it gets a little complicated. So it rightly is translated by, but can be translated through. The me here, in the Greek language, there are two me's. There is the regular me, and there's the emphatic me. The emphatic me differs from the regular me this way. Who did this? It was me. Who did this? It was me! The me, the emphatic me, is me and nobody else. And it's the emphatic here. I am the door. By me and no one else, if any man enter in. Second thing that's interesting in the grammar of this is the word, if any man. The word man is not found in the Greek text. It's found, literally it's translated, if any enter in. Any what? It's an indefinite pronoun. Well, an indefinite pronoun relates to something in context. The context will tell you what it is. Well, what's he talking about in context? Well, he's talking about sheep going in. Literally, if any sheep will enter in, they shall be saved. But he's relating it now to people. And interestingly enough, the people of God in the Old Testament times were often referred to as God's sheep. In fact, the most familiar of the Psalms, Psalm 23, begins how? No, the Lord is my shepherd, which means, David, you are his sheep. What Jesus is saying in verse 9, I am the door, me and nobody else. Through me, if anyone who wants to be a genuine sheep of the flock of God, enter in through me. They have to come through me. Interestingly enough, John chapter 14, verse 6, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but exact same language. Dia, the preposition, through, and the emphatic me. I am the door. By or through me, if anyone who wants to be a sheep of God enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. Well, I don't know about you, but I haven't looked for pasture too often. I do my grazing in front of the refrigerator. So he's talking in context about sheep looking for pasture. They're going to go in and out. What happens when they're in? Well, usually they're in the fold in the evening. That's when the predatory animals would come, or the thieves and the robbers would come. But they're in the fold that's providing protection. In the morning, the shepherd would come back, call his sheep, and take him out to go for pasture. Why is that? Well, if you stayed within the fold for too long, sooner or later, there wouldn't be much grass to graze on. And you'd starve. So, take them out to find better pasture land. Verse 10. The thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. I am come that they might have life as opposed to death. Without the fold and without the shepherd or the porter guarding the door, the sheep would leave the fold and be subject to predatory animals or thieves or robbers. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly after they leave in the morning and go out and into the pasture lands. There's the abundant life, grazing on the provisions of God. Beginning in verse 11, he changes who he is. He's the door. In these first couple of verses, in verse 11, I am the good shepherd. Now he is going to contrast between a good shepherd and the porter. In the first one, he's contrasting himself between him and the Pharisees. The Pharisees are the ones who were basically saying, if you want to be in a right relationship with God, you come through us. We control who's in the realm of God under His provision and who isn't. And if we don't like you, like this man that was born blind, we cast you out. You don't have any say in it. You're out of here. That's not what the good shepherd does. Now we talk about the shepherd as contrasted to a porter, which he's going to contrast once again to the Pharisees. I am the good shepherd. And the good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is a hireling, well, who would that be? That would be the porter. The various shepherds would bring their sheep into this fold, and they would hire a guy to sit in the doorway. That's all he had to do, is sit there, keep the sheep in. That was his one job. In the morning, the shepherds would come back, and once the sheep were out, the shepherd would go home. But he that is a hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming. Uh-oh. We got problems here. A predatory animal that could be dangerous to myself, and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf catches them, that would be the sheep, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he's a hireling. He's hired. It's not his. He doesn't care about the sheep. He's interested in his own well-being. And if his life is on the line, he's out of there. In contrast, the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. He will defend them to the very end. Verse 14, I am the good shepherd. And I know my sheep. I know who they are. And am known among them. They know me. What kind of knowledge do we have? Well, verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father. The same intimacy that exists between me and God the Father, who knows me intimately. And by the way, I know Him intimately. I will have with my sheep. I'll call them by name. Not only that, verse 15, as the Father knoweth me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep, because that's the heart of God. For God so loved the world. Now, here's what's really going to blow them away. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold. The fold here is the nation of Israel. The other sheep are Gentiles. Them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice. Now this is future. And there shall be one if you have a King James, it says full, but every other Bible translation, rightly translated, there shall be one flock. I honestly have no idea why the King James translated it full. I read one thing somewhere, and I'm not exactly sure what it was, but the word there is not full, but flock, and one shepherd. Therefore, doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay down of myself. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment I've received of my Father. I am sent here on a mission from God to lay down my life for those that are genuine sheep, those who have come through me. The Pharisees, if they don't like what's going on, if they see some threat to their well-being, they couldn't care less about the sheep. Here's this young man, born blind. What did they ever do to help him out? In fact, they didn't even know who he was. And when he put to them a question about my identity that put them in peril as far as their reputation goes, what did they do? Throw him out. Did they ever lead him to a right understanding? They didn't care about him. That's what Jesus is saying in this parable. So what he's saying to the people is, you've got a choice to make. You look at me and how I act, and you look at these Pharisees. Who are you going to believe, me or them? And that's a question that we need to ask everyone as we share the gospel with the lost around them. Ultimately, our purpose in evangelizing is not to bring people to the Salina Bible Church, not to bring people to any church. It's to bring people to Christ by me, if you enter in. Not by the church, not by any organization, but through me. And we need to present to people the claims of Jesus Christ just as he was presenting himself. Now, once that happens, they become part of a group. And yes, we do want to bring them into the church. Don't misunderstand that I'm saying it doesn't matter whether they become part of a church family or not. That certainly isn't the case. But they can't be part of a church family until they come to Christ. That's the issue. And that's what our evangelism is about. Pharisees were interested in building up their own reputations and their own organizations. Nothing more. But there's another thing in here that we need to be mindful of. First of all, when were the sheep in the fold? In the nighttime. And it's there that they have light. They have protection from that which is from without. Aren't you glad that Jesus is our door to the fold? Aren't you glad that in the dark times of life, he has a wall around us, that he himself sits in the doorway and lets no one in that can harm you? Not any sheep in wolves' clothing, not even a roaring lion who walketh about seeking whom he can devour, can get in. Because the good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. Aren't you glad that you can have that confidence, that assurance of safety and protection? Shouldn't you be thankful for it? Aren't you glad that you're not stuck in one confined area all the time? Man, think about this. Here we are in that little fold, which is fine for the night. But if you were there 7 days a week, 12 months of the year. Number one, without trying to be gross, it'd get awfully messy. There would be little to eat upon. You would shrivel away. Aren't you glad that the shepherd comes and says, come on, let's go out. Stretch your legs. I want to take you to a place where you can feast all day long and get fat. Isn't that nice? Isn't that good? Isn't that great? And where the shepherd leads, there the shepherd protects. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. Why? For thou art with me. The shepherd always leads the sheep. He never drives them. He says, follow me. I'll go first. And anything that comes your way has to go through me there too. Isn't that good? Isn't that worthy of praise? Isn't that worthy of thanksgiving? The Pharisees, though, were supposed to be shepherds. Supposed to be. They were doing a terrible, terrible job. You and I are called also to be shepherds. Sometimes of the family. Sometimes of church congregations. Sometimes of people in our neighborhood. We have a responsibility of seeing, of calling people to come to Christ. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. What are you willing to give? Ouch. That hurts. But that's the requirement of a good shepherd. Let's be good shepherds. Amen. Father, we thank you tonight for the good shepherd that we have in the person of your Son. We thank you for the safety that he affords us as he sits in the door and protects us from thieves and robbers and predatory animals that come to take life instead of giving it. We thank you that he's the good shepherd that leads us out into the rich pastures of this world, that we might feed upon your word and grow in grace and knowledge of you, even to the point where we become fat. And in this case, it's a good thing. Lord, we just praise you for the great shepherd that we have, that he was willing to die for us. And Lord, may we follow in his footsteps. May we be those who call this world to come to Christ, even to the giving of our lives for that, if it be found necessary to do so. To that end, I pray that you might be glorified as we do these things. In Jesus' name, amen. Have a good week.